So Monday was described as a day of decentralized actions for groups, and there was a whole lot of different things that went on. There was guerrilla gardening, there was banner drops, there was a bit of a rally and a march. Well, one of the actions that happened was five people went and locked themselves to a coal loader at Newcastle Coalport. And Libby and Catherine were two of those people who made headlines around the world.
You're international celebrities now, you realise.
Yeah. We've been basking in the limelight, obviously, for the last week. Maybe we could, just go through a bit of a...
So what happened with this chaining yourself to large coal loaders? How did that start? Did someone just go, you want to be a great idea?
Catherine, maybe did you want to talk a bit about how we started planning? When did it all start happening? Because I can't even remember.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly when. I think a couple of people have been really active in trying to get people to form into groups where they can think about how they might want to take action at climate camp. Yeah, they've been doing that for a while. So I guess we just sort of started talking amongst ourselves and came up with a couple of different plans that people wanted to do. And one of those plans was to lock onto infrastructure and thereby stop the coal team at some point along the way.
So did you have to sneak in somewhere to do this, or was there just a coal loader just kind of in public domain?
Well, there's a really big coal loader right next to one of the main highways going from Newcastle up to Nelson Bay, and we thought that was a really public site and we really wanted people to see us. And we had a big banner that was, you know, beautifully painted, so we wanted everyone to know what it looked like. But yeah, we just climbed over a barbed wire fence and ran up some steps and pressed some emergency stop buttons and then locked ourselves on with some metal piping.
Oh. So were you, like, visible from the road with a big banner saying, help, we're chained to a coal loader?
That would have been a good idea for a banner, and I wish you were there when we're thinking of ideas.
Yeah, it took us a very long time to decide on the banner.
Could you explain, like, the metal piping? How do you... So you went up to this coal, this loader, and you're like, what's this device?
There's quite a few different sorts of devices. The ones that Libby and I used were chained ourselves together, which was great fun. It was like a piece of metal piping. You can either have ones that are straight or ones that are... like an elbow pipe, which is two bits of pipe stuck together at a right angle. And inside of that, there's a metal pin. And what you do is you put a chain around your hand and then you put a little carabiner lock on it and you clip onto the pin so that your hand's chained inside this metal pole and then you put it through a bit of machine so they can't use the machine because you're chained to it and they have to actually cut through the metal piping to get you off. But you can lock off at any time if you're scared. Is really cool.
And Catherine and I could hold hands, we discovered. So
so we held sweaty, coal-covered hands inside a metal pole.
It was lovely.
It was.
And what exactly were we locked around? That's what I never quite worked out, what we were...
It sounds like it was well planned.
It was a machine with coal, it did something, why not?
It's actually a conveyor belt.
Yeah, it was a conveyor belt.
A big rubbery conveyor belt, which was really fun to jump on.
So is it a coal loader for loading onto the trains or loading onto ships or something?
Loading onto a big ship.
Ah, right.
They have two big ones loading onto ships, and then they have like a whole system of conveyor belts and then other machines you can also lock onto that like move the coal around. So basically it comes from the train lines along different machines onto conveyor belts and then goes into the ships and leaves.
So was there a huge amount of coal there when you got there being loaded on, or was it a quiet day?
Well, it was being used, but there wasn't whole piles of coal, so I think it was being used at some other point other than... It would be much more exciting if there was a huge pile of coal all around us.
Like a James Bond film, you know.
But, well, that was... James Bond seemed to come up a lot in our planning.
We're just always like, I wish James Bond was with us.
Yeah, did someone have a laser watch?
No laser watches. In fact, we weren't even that good at having watches. But we won't talk about that.
Could I ask, one of the criticisms often is that protesters do things like this that are kind of unsafe. Did you guys, plan much around, you know, you're going onto this big infrastructure about how you were going to do it in a safe way?
Yeah, I guess we talked a lot about it. I think the point that we were all pretty aware of is that once people are on site, they have to start work. And we actually helped them by pressing all the emergency stop buttons when we first got on, which are very big and visible.
They have giant red signs saying emergency stop, and then you press them and a siren goes off.
Yep, it was great pretty fun. Exciting, running around pressing all the emergency stop buttons.
Kids, don't try this at home.
Well, I mean, it all felt pretty safe, like, because obviously they're for people to work on, so they're not...
Yeah, they have quite strict, like, health and safety regulations, but we also, Libby and I wore bike helmets, so we look a little bit like goof bags. But
you wore bike helmets?
We looked really cool.
Are you riding so them?
Cool. No, I wore my dad's yellow bike helmet, and he was very proud to see it on the news.
Yeah. So we were pretty safe, and it wasn't precarious at all where we were stationed.
So what part were you locked to, if you know? Was it the, were you standing on the conveyor belt or in amongst the machinery, or...?
We weren't on the conveyor belt. We were locked to, like, a piston holding up the conveyor belt.
They had, like, rollers on the conveyor belt, and they actually took apart the conveyor belt instead of locking us off, so they actually took the whole...
So they just took the thing apart and then left you chained to nothing and go on your way.
We were chained to a pole that wasn't attached to anything, which is pretty funny, because one of the people then asked us to lock off, and we were like, well, you could just lift the thing up. It was once they pulled the machinery apart.
And I walked downstairs still chained together. And when we were at the bottom, the police were like, can you, like, please unlock now? And we're like, okay.
But, it was really cool watching them take the machinery apart. Like, that was interesting. Because we were actually, there were others of us there, and they had to be locked up. Their machinery couldn't get taken apart in the same way. But I guess the point is that you don't really have to be locked onto anything to physically stop that thing working. You just have to be locked onto a part of the site because they can't work while you're there. So if they can't get you off the site, they can't effectively work. So it doesn't really matter what you lock onto. But
probably the cafeteria is not the place to be.
Well, and it's good, I guess. Unless
you're protesting against obesity or something.
Or if you're planning on being there for a while.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, so how long were you actually chained to the machinery?
I think it said we stopped work on the official site by about 2 and a bit hours.
Yeah.
Which I think was quite short because of climate camp, they had police rescue vehicles driving around Kurrajong and police driving around Kurrajong in preparation, which I think normally wouldn't happen. I think normally if people locked on, it would take quite a long time, but they were ready for us.
See, because, yeah, they need police rescue to lock you off, and they're not usually, there's not that many of them, and they're not usually sort of patrolling around, but because of climate camp, they were, so...
Ready to cut through being chained to trees and whatnot.
Yeah, because the ordinary police don't have the, like, equipment.
The training.
To cut you off.
Might lop off a hand or something. Yeah. I know I wouldn't want to cut through a chain that was chaining someone and be like, I'm not really sure where you end and the chain begins. I'm not going to take that risk.
So what's the thought process behind locking yourself onto? What were your objectives kind of in doing that? Was it trying to get sort of media attention, or do you think you got... It was fairly well publicised what you guys did.
I think maybe we can both answer this one together. I think we media attention is very important, and we do talk a lot about how to be visible for the media and how to make sure that you have a good message for the media, because ideally you do want the message to get out there. But, I mean, one of our main objectives is also to be quite visible for anyone. That was why we chose this place that was on a public road, so that when we hung the banner that it could be seen to anyone driving by to work. But I think, for me, I guess I always think about direct action as not just about being a media stunt or like being really visible about it, but as being this last point that you as just a small person, a small individual member of a community, the last thing that you can do to physically stop something that you disagree with. Like, there's only so far that writing letters and lobbying and asking, you know, people in charge to do things differently can go. And so this is like that last point where you can physically put yourself in between what's happening that you disagree with and say, you know, no, this is, I want this to stop. What do you think?
I think what Louis said is really true. And I think that direct action is kind of a legitimate way where communities can demand things that are their rights, and that to understand that the legal system doesn't really protect communities' rights to say how they want their world to be, and that heaps more decisions about how the world should be is made by, like, you know, people who own coal companies, and that direct action comes from a place where people in communities say, no, this isn't okay, I'm going to actually physically stop you from doing this. And as long as it's part of a broader movement, that's actually something that will change things. Like, it won't change things if only five of us do it, but if in the future other people take the same stand, then maybe we can make a difference.
Plus, there's just something intrinsically cool to chaining yourself to something big, isn't there?
It seems pretty big.
Exciting and you know, go ahead and doing something. It's very 1960s, I think, you know, very kind of save the forest, chaining yourself to a tree.
Yeah, it is cool, but I guess that is what's cool about it, is that it is something that anyone can do. It's not hard to do, and it doesn't... I think there's this conception that, you know, that it's hardcore and a bit crazy and wacky and out there, but I guess, like all of us that locked down, are pretty...
Well, goofy.
But goofy.
Only for the goofy ones.
but just pretty ordinary, like, not to be, you know, mean to us, but, like... I guess.
You can imagine you guys, all you goofy guys in Blu-ray bike helmets, stumbling around pressing emergency stop buttons.
Stumbling. It was all very tight. But
it was on the coal, wasn't it? Just tripping over the coal.
We were a lovely looking group, I thought.
And just quickly before maybe we'll go to the song in a second. What were the reactions of the people working there to you guys?
The workers were really nice. I loved the workers.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I think that they had a really positive response. They didn't feel that... I guess it's kind of different to some other kind of actions in the forest where people lose money, workers lose money.
I guess the workers are still going to get paid for the work they're being forced to stop.
Yeah, the workers still get paid, so they don't take it personal. They don't take it personally. And I think also they don't necessarily sort of associate with the coal, like, industry and their huge profits, because workers don't really... like, get to be involved in that. Mm. And they, I think, were just really interested in what we were doing, came and chatted to us, especially Dwayne, who we made friends with.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. They were really, just really friendly, positive. It was really, just really good to be able to talk to them. And obviously, yeah, both, respect on both sides. Like, and that's a really important thing, that we don't want to ever be disrespectful to people that work in the industry at all. And I think that there was that understanding on both accounts.
Good PR. one question before we go to the song. Do you have any plans to chain yourselves to any big things in the future?
Well, we can't talk about that on radio. I don't know. I guess potentially. I think what I hope is that there'll just be lots and lots of people chaining themselves to things. Like, it is something that anyone can do. It doesn't have to be big and hardcore. And this is, you know, this is what's sort of left to us, because they're not really giving us any other options. So I think, yeah, my plans are for lots and lots of people to all do this together. What about you, Catherine?
Yeah, I think so, that people should not feel intimidated by the process. And also that some people, I think, are excluded from doing things like that, like the legal system really... discriminates, and that some people can't take that kind of action and get away with it, and other people can. So I think it's really cool if you're in a position to do it, to be able to take that kind of action.
Does it help being goofy, getting away with it? Did you guys were arrested? Were you charged?
Yeah.
So you weren't? Did you get? So some other protesters just got a fine, like a train ticket kind of thing. You guys actually got charged and have to go to court?
Yeah, we have court in August.
What were you charged with?
Pretty much just trespass. Remaining on enclosed lands is the official line.
And is this the first time you've done that kind of thing, isn't it? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know. We don't know what will happen, but it's not. It doesn't look like it's going to be anything too full on.
You're not going to go to the slammer, are you?
No.
I was really disappointed we didn't get to go on the day. They just took us to a bus and then they dropped us back at the camp.
They processed us in the field in an APEC bus rather than in an actual police station.
Yeah.
Oh. What a shame. You need to go to jail.
But maybe we can revisit climate camp people, once court's been happening, and see where people are at.
Yeah, we'd love to hear about what your follow-up after you go to court and some of the other things that happen around that action.
Maybe just going to talk a little bit about what the arrest process was like on the Monday. For all those people out there thinking that direct action might be interesting and maybe a little bit scared, just to take people through, yeah, what it's like. How did you find the police, Catherine? I mean, we were chained together the whole time, so...
Well, I think I'm very glad I was chained to you, Libby, because I think that your cheerful manner meant that they were much nicer to us than they were to other people, which obviously was pretty sad that they weren't as nice to some of the other people that were locked on, and they're a bit rougher with them and a bit ruder to them. But I think that because we were very firm and cheerful, none of their mind games worked, and they also couldn't get very annoyed at us because we just kind of smiled at them and then stuffed our faces with chocolate. It was kind of okay, but I think that they were not so nice to everybody.
Yeah, I think being polite was definitely a good thing. And I think also, I don't know, just being aware that they do have mind games. Do you think that anything that they said would have ever vaguely convinced you, Catherine?
I think because I was really prepared, no, but if not, possibly. They said things like, you know, you're locked onto the wrong thing, this thing doesn't actually work, it's been turned off for 2 months, and they said that if we locked off earlier, yeah, it would mean that we had less sentencing, which isn't true. And just kind of general kind of pressure on us that we were being naughty and we should just do what they said and we shouldn't keep behaving like that. But I think just being really firm and polite to them meant that that didn't really work on us.
Yeah, I think also not engaging in those arguments and debates so much, but just being quite firm and just saying no, you know, sorry, but no, was important. Worked really well. Yeah, and what about the procedure once we were finally arrested? How did you find all of that?
It was quite surreal, but it was really demystifying of what it actually means to be arrested, and also. I guess you kind of always think when you're growing up that if you get arrested, suddenly everything will be different and you'll be this sort of bad person, kind of like, I don't know if everyone thinks like that, but it's sort of like drummed into your head that people who break the law are kind of outside of society, but it definitely didn't really change anything. We just went through a couple of procedures where they took a picture of us, took our names down, then let us go.
They didn't brand you on the forehead or anything?
No, there was no branding.
Cut off your hand.
And we even had a nice policeman who used to be a youth worker who just chatted to us about life.
Oh, that's nice.
But, yeah, it was really demystifying into that nothing really bad happened. We weren't changed forever.
And you were wearing your school jumper from the area.
Yes, I was wearing my school jumper from a very nice little selective school in Newcastle, and they're very impressed.
Are you wearing it now? Is that it?
Yes. I'm even wearing the same pants I wore. I haven't actually changed
how long ago was it you went to school?
Oh, about 6 years.
And you haven't changed in that whole time?
No, Catherine is actually in here, in the studio, in almost the identical outfit that she was arrested in, that she locked herself onto a coal pot. So, you know, it's pretty special.
It has celebrity value.
Yeah, it does.
And it's going to be auctioned off after the trial.
Blue track pants and a school uniform. Yeah. It's easy to get arrested.
Well, the latest activist fashion.
I think we were a pretty diverse-looking group. We had one of our friends was wearing a dress with lady beetles on it and a red coat. And one of us, I was in overalls. I can't remember what the others were. They were pretty boring.
Yeah, they're wearing boring clothes.
Boring clothes.
Normal clothes. Not school uniform and not overalls. Boring clothes.
I think part of what is cool about direct action is it's, making a stand against a legal system which isn't always particularly fair and being in and choosing how you're going to be involved with that and not being scared because you've been raised to be scared of breaking the law when you think sometimes it's more important to break the law than to not break the law.
Yeah, and I think what you said before as well about being in the position that we're in, like we were all relatively privileged people who didn't have, you know, too hard a time and you know, like obviously knew why we were doing it, but also we're in the position to do it and not face too much bad treatment.
Is that why you wore your private school uniform?
It wasn't private school. Oh. It was public school. But partly it was, yes.
Okay.
They were really
Don't
impressed.
Don't hurt me, I'm a schoolgirl.
Kind of. I think I think it's really silly, but I think there is a kind of certain standing that certain schools have in areas. I think it's really bad, but I guess just self-preservation.
Because you're on a school excursion and I'm lost.
I didn't mean to be here.
But they were really impressed by your school uniform.